You're listening to Seattle's sports leader.
Yes, sir!
93.3 KJRFM Seattle.
An iHeartRadio station. Available everywhere on our free iHeartRadio app. Number one for music, radio, and podcasts all in one.
Because the Ninja Boy is going to style and profile. And you're going to bleed all night long. Woo!
All right, headlines brought to you by VenueKings.com. It's Puck and the Go-To Guy with you here on this Flair Friday, Drag Your Ass Friday, Get Out of Hell Out of Town Friday. We'll talk to Bill Krueger in this segment from Root Sports, all things Mariners. The Mariners back in action today at 14-18, taking on the New York Mets, who are at 22-11 as they start a three-game series. Max Scherzer against Marco Gonzalez today. They originally had Scherzer going tomorrow, but instead, it will be tonight there against Marco. Marco has been fine this year. 3.91 ERA. It's kind of what you expect from him. 1-4 record. He's got to get those walks a little bit down, but not too bad there for Marco Gonzalez. And then coming up on Saturday should be a great, really fun game there for George Kirby, pitching in his home state. He grew up a Yankees fan, but he's going to be pitching in front of a ton of family and friends coming up tomorrow against Chris Bassett. And then it's Robbie Ray and Carlos Carrasco. You are three and seeing their three top pitchers in Scherzer, Bassett, and Carrasco. Scherzer 2.92 ERA, Bassett 2.45, Carrasco 3.19. A big topic already in New York City has been the revisiting of the Mariners and Mets trade. John Heyman making news today saying the Mets have won the deal. They're like, well, they may have won the deal as of now, but I mean, let's let it play out. What if Jared Kelnick in 3 years turns into a superstar? Then they didn't win the deal. But as of right now, I would give a slight edge to the Mets now. Boy. They have an all-star closer. What do the Mariners have?
Well, up until what, a month ago, it was a route for the Mariners, wasn't it? In this trade?
How so? Up until a month ago. Why?
Maybe I misspoke, but I just, you know, you just continue to hope that Kelnick, I mean, he was the jewel of the trade. Like, why would the Mets get rid of him? He was a top, what, five prospect in baseball overall?
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe farther back than a month ago.
Well, I would just say even last year, I would just say up until this point.
But I just, you know, you talked about
up until this.
See,
point,
I was saying that
the
I was
Mets
glad they
had a better deal.
I was glad they unloaded Robbie's contract. Sure. But the thing is, if Robbie had still been on this team, it would have been kind of painful to be watching him, and then also having him be suspended all of last year.
I mean, I understand the saving of the money. The money just to me doesn't feel like a big deal. I mean, maybe it is. I mean, they're a $1 billion company, so they saved, you know, $45 million. Or 34, whatever they saved. Okay.
All right.
Like, I don't.
Pete Carroll's 7-5 coming off bye weeks.
Well, there we go, 7-5.
According to Ben on 49451.
All right, let's talk a little baseball. You see him on your tube when you're watching the Mariners pre- and post-game show. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a crafty lefty. Bill Krueger from Root Sports jumping on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline with us. Bill, how are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm good, Jace. The sun's out. Hope returns, right?
There you go. Now,
for a minute?
Give that
for a
to,
day?
Give that to Jimmy, because he's down and out right now at 14-18. He needs somebody to pick him up. And Krueger, you're the type of guy to pick him up right now. Give him some hope.
That's me. You got me. I'm just glass half full. Sure.
Okay, see, I'm not hearing much hope from Bill there.
Well, it's been a struggle for the team. They need to turn it around.
Bill, the team's not very good, right? Am I wrong?
No, I think the team, well, I mean, if you're going to use the measuring stick of last year's team, right, this team is better. They have a better lineup. They have better starting pitching. In general, they have more weapons in the bullpen. But what they don't have this year is that, you know, they stole Jack's magic beans last year. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you only get to have them for a year. And then you have to let another team have those beans that
right.
Jack used to get up the beanstalk, right?
Yes.
33 one-run rents. Where are we now? We got a losing record in 1-1 games, and we got four saves, which is last in the league. So it's the magic of winning those close games that we've been unable to get because, you know, if you look at the numbers, I mean, 11th in ERA, 6th in average, 8th in runs. That doesn't sound like a team that's struggling. They have some areas that they have to mend, and they got to get a couple guys healthy. And he doesn't have a lot of maneuverability right now, and the schedule's tough. But I think the team is better than it was last year. But there was a little bit of, you know, magic beans.
Well, fool's gold. I mean, I think that's why a lot of us felt a lot of us felt in those games last year. It's just, I mean, Bill, you know, you pitched at that level. It's just hard. It's hard to replicate what they did last year in the bullpen from year to year, is it not?
Yeah, well, I think when you get three guys that basically shut the world down the second half of the season, they were basically, in some way, shape, or form, guys we got off the street. And to go from being off the street to just generally being able to give you some ability in the bullpen, that's a step. But then they were elite. We were talking about Sadler and Steckenrider and Seawald. And they seem, and both of the, well, Sadler's hurt, which hurts you. But to think that these guys are going to snuff the world going forward, that's probably not fair. And the club was smart. What did they do? They got Munoz, who was in a trade, Tommy John. And they got Ken Giles. And Munoz has shown flashes of brilliance. And Ken Giles is the anchor that the club really needs right now. Mm-hmm. And he's been backdated till June. So I think they tried. I think they recognized that they needed to add to the bullpen. And some of it just hasn't quite worked out. But that's baseball. I guess.
Okay, so what should they do with Castillo at this point?
Well, I mean, he's just he hasn't pitched well. He needs to be able to throw his fastball for a strike. You can't just throw all sliders, especially as you get older and your stuff isn't as good. I mean, I kind of saw what I saw last year. I mean, he's not made for the end of the game. What do you do? I mean, he's on the team. You have to pick softer landing opportunities for him to pitch. You got to work with him on the side, try to figure out what it is that's made him good when he's on his game. And then introduce him into the game in situations that aren't high tension, high pressure. That's what you do with guys that are veterans that you feel like they still can help the team.
What about the decision again? Bill Krueger with us from Root Sports. The decision of Matt Brash. I mean, last time we had you on, I mean, you're comparing him to Walker Buehler, or you're just saying he's got Walker Buehler stuff. When I heard that, I'm thinking, my God, that is unbelievable. And then, you know, a week later, he struggles again, and all of a sudden now we're putting him down in not only Tacoma, but now we're transitioning him into the bullpen. Your thoughts on that one? I mean, obviously they can go back and make him a starter again, but the initial reaction of turning him into a bullpen piece now and doing it down in Tacoma.
Well, I think it's so unfortunate in today's game that we rush great talent. You know, that baseball doesn't have the patience to understand that you want to take guys like that and let them get more innings and develop a little bit more, because starting pitching, no matter how we take and specialize the game, I mean, great starting pitching carries great teams. The more starting pitchers can go deeper in games, the better chance you have to win, no matter how many 100-mile-an-hour arms you have. And I believe that. And for him to have 100 innings in, and to see him, I mean, you watch him throw. I mean, you watch he and Kirby in spring training, which you can't use as a measuring stick, by the way. And you put the two of them in a head-to-head competition. And I look at both of them, and I can tell you right now that Kirby would be the one, because Kirby's straight to the plate. Kirby's got repeatable delivery. Kirby's got strikes. Kirby's got fastball for strikes. And Brash just doesn't yet. And so they had to know that. Now, maybe they didn't say, they thought maybe he would be electric and he wouldn't be quite as scattery as he ended up being. But, you know, you kind of wonder what their thinking was. I mean, maybe they were thinking, hey, we're going to let Kirby go down and get his footing really good because we like him as a starter, and we'll just see if Brash is lightning in a bottle. And if he isn't, we'll make him a reliever. I mean, I don't know.
The club
needs relief pitching right now, and he could probably help him, but it's going to retard his development. He won't have a chance to go down and say, look, today we're going to go and we're just going to work on fastball away. We're going to throw 40 of them on this side and you're going to throw 40 on that side. That's what we're going to do today. Today we're going to work on changeup. We're going to go on flat ground. We're going to do that in the outfield. We're going to talk about how to approach hitters. We're going to work on this. We're going to work on that. You know, but he's not going to do that. He's going to go down. They're going to say more electricity, more gas, harder breaking ball. You know, we're just going to bring you up and just let you be even more of what you've been already. And it could be very effective. The kid's very talented. I don't change my judgment on his talent, but 100 innings in the minor leagues is not a lot. And I think, but on the other side, Joel Pinheiro did it. he turned out to be a very good starting pitcher for this club. So, and they started him in middle relief.
So, do you think so? When you watched him in spring training, it was clear to you that Kirby was going to be or was the better option than Matt Brash, and was surprised that Brash was the one who was the fifth in the rotation.
Well, because I don't believe in, you know, because they just used it as a bake-off, right? He had one bad inning where he gave up six runs, and then beyond that, they were equal. But you just look at Kirby's resume of strikes, and you look at his delivery. And it isn't, it's more about delivery and command and strikes and being able to use your fastball in the big leagues than it is about how electric your breaking ball is. And, you know, he just, it's too hard to pitch like Brash is pitching. You got to be a wily veteran to go out there and say, I'm at that point in my career, you know, I'm Chris Bosio, my stuff's all gone now, so I'm going to pitch everybody backwards and I'm going to throw 25% fastballs. Well, you got to be pretty crafty to be able to do that. And, you know, he just isn't there. He's got two breaking balls that look the same. He started to get them. They were going east-west too much. You know, he's scattering his fastball. It's just, and I could see just in his delivery and his pitch, the way he was throwing, and to look at Kirby, and it, to me, it's a night and day, which guy's ready and which guy isn't. And I'm not going to use a spring training game as my measuring stick. I think that's the last thing you want to do. I mean, the only time you ever really do that is if you have, like, I don't know, your 11 and 12 pitcher, they're both journeymen, they're both going to kind of fill the back end of the bullpen, they have equal resumes, and maybe they go head-to-head in spring training. But other than that, you got to be looking at what they do in the minor leagues, not what they do that moment. Because spring training is getting ready for the season, not bake-offs.
Well, you know, Bill, I think Puck and I were a little surprised when they said, well, we're not only going to send him down, but turn him into a reliever. And then there are other analysts that are saying, well, he should be a reliever all along. I just think, I wonder what the kid is thinking about that, whether he's on board with it or whether that matters or not. And then I go back to thinking about Brandon Morrow and how they screwed him up. I mean, different regime back then, but how do you feel about this? Would he be better as a reliever?
It's really hard to say. You always kind of want to err, and you got somebody with that kind of stuff, you kind of want to let them truly fail as a starter before you choose the bullpen. To me, a bullpen pitcher is a guy that's not good enough to start. And you always have to keep that in mind when you think about who the best pitchers are. Okay? So, it could be that he's a reliever all along, you know, but he's had success as a starter in the minor leagues. I'd rather see him refine his game and be a starter, and that's more valuable. To me, if I was owning a team or running a team, I much more covet a guy with great stuff that can start. So, I mean, on Brash's end of it, if he's mature about it, he continues to think about the things he needs to do better. I got to throw my fastball more for a strike. Maybe I get one breaking ball because I'm in relief now. Get one breaking ball and get that one to go down more. And just concentrate on one breaking ball. And I'm going to be back in the big leagues quicker. So I think that's where he needs to kind of take and think and apply himself. And that would be good for the club. Club wants help in the bullpen. And I don't know they've necessarily given up on him as a starter. I don't think they necessarily have, but they're also looking at need, right? And so, and development takes the back seat in today's game. Guys get there quicker, and we're seeing some of that now, you know? You know, the right fielder, I mean, he's not ready to play every day, but they don't have a choice, right?
Well, what do you do? What do you do? Let's, because I want to get to Winker here in a second too. What do you?
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I want to get to Winker in a sec, but I do want to touch on Kelnick. What do you do with him? I mean, it's, let's say he goes down to Tacoma. He's proven he can hit in Tacoma. So what does he solve down there that would help him up at the major leagues? Because every time he goes down there, he hits, and then he comes up here and he doesn't.
Well, I can tell you that Tino Martinez and Edgar Martinez hit like 360 year after year and couldn't play in the big leagues. So, you know, all we can do is look at what he's doing here now. And it isn't an indictment that he can't be a good player. He's done a nice job in right field. His throwing and fielding have improved. But he can't use the other side. He can't use the other side of the field. He seems focused on trying to hit the ball in the ballpark. He's vulnerable to breaking balls. He's vulnerable on the ball away. And, you know, it's tough to work on things when the heat's on. You're just stuck in having to perform and just kind of throwing yourself, and your confidence is a little, you know, wavering. So, yeah, I think the club would, I mean, I'm just guessing here, I think they'd like to be able to take the pressure off and move him down and let him go play and work on some things, but they don't really have a choice, right? I don't know if they have a maneuver, a place to maneuver to.
Okay. Not a lot of options.
I don't know what I would do either, but, I mean, that last at-bat that he had, Bill, I mean, what's that tell you about the kid? I mean, okay, the first strike might have been a little off the plate, but whatever. The next two were right down the middle. They look like fastballs to me. I mean, he couldn't pull the trigger. So what does that tell you about where he is?
He gets to the point where he has to guess, and that's a bad place to be. That's just a bad place to be, and understanding what guys are doing to him and the lack of his confidence is every athlete, the greatest athletes struggle with confidence. It's just nothing new. So he'd still be a good player. I mean, I think the kind of player, what kind of player does Jared want to be? What kind of player does the club want him to be? I mean, in my opinion, but then baseball continues to pay big money for guys that hit 30 homers and strike out 180 times. I'm not paying for that guy. I'm paying for the guy that hits 20 homers and hits 40 doubles and doesn't strike out 100 times. That's the guy I want.
Winker.
But baseball will tell us that they think the other guy is the guy you need to have.
Yeah.
So you're not a Suarez fan then?
Well, I mean, hey, look, you made a deal to get Winker. Suarez has got the power that replaces Seager's power. I mean, I get it. And he's played better third base than I think we thought he would. So I think we just have to kind of wait and see how it goes. But Jared, in my opinion, needs to be more of a Rusty Greer, Darren Erstad kind of slashing player that hits line drives in left center, and shows bunt, and fights with two strikes and gets jammed and dunks balls in and doesn't strike out as much and has better plate coverage and uses his speed. I mean, that's the player that I think he should be instead of trying to be a hulking all-or-nothing guy. You got to be pretty educated to do that. So, as a hitter, you need a lot of experience to be able to hit like that.
All right. So, what do they do with Winker? I think it's interesting with him. Right. His most success when he was in Cincinnati was hitting leadoff. Why have they not at least tried to experiment with him hitting leadoff? And you know, I bring it up the other day, and I know this. You know, their lineup has bounced around a little bit, obviously with some injuries. But I mean, they got Abraham Toro hitting leadoff the other day. Why have they not at least tried him in that spot? What do you think the hesitancy is with that?
Well, I think it's because they just lack middle of the lineup hitting, and they need the guy in the middle of the lineup that's supposed to be your best hitter. He came here with pretty good numbers, right? All-star player, 24 homers, hit .306, hit .350 against right-handed pitching, stoning right-handed pitching. Got a resume for getting it done. And you have a guy in Frazier who's kind of your more prototypical leadoff hitter, right? So I think that's just where their thinking lies, that they want to be careful not to try to, you know, find an answer. I mean, the answer for Winker is to you know, figure out why he's late.
Yeah.
He's late, you know. I mean, he's late, and I'm not sure why. I've never seen him play, but he's late to the fastball, and that's affecting everything he's trying to do at the plate right now. And I believe he'll hit because he's got a long resume of hitting, right? So he will hit, but I mean, at this point, I mean, when you're struggling at catcher, you're struggling at DH, you're struggling in right field, and you know, you need left field to hit, right?
Well, I'd like to see them try out one game. Maybe it's tonight. Winker, Frazier, France, Julio, Crawford, 1 through 5, and then the rest of it you can just kind of throw against the wall. That's what I'd like.
Well, I think, you know, you've got reason. I mean, he's not a plus runner, but he is a discerning eye. He does walk. He's still to the top of the league in walks, but I don't know.
I'm just saying throw something against the wall to see what happens.
Right.
Because obviously what's working now by moving him around where you're putting him, it just hasn't worked. Maybe getting him – I don't say you got to leave him there. But getting him to a comfortable place where he's been before, maybe that unlocks something
I think it's fair to think that. So maybe that'll be something that they'll decide to do. I don't know. It's,
Well, we'll see.
A good thought.
Yeah, we'll see.
Right?
We got Gonzalez and Scherzer coming up tonight.
Yep.
Scherzer 4-1, the 2.92 ERA. We're up against a break. I got to cut you loose, Bill. We always appreciate the conversation, man. We love doing this. Thank you so much for doing it today.
I enjoyed it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yep, there he is. Bill Krueger, Root Sports. Catch him there on Root Sports, talking all things baseball. Mariners and Mets start a three-game series tonight. Brutally honest. I'll tell you that about
Bill's
Bill.
Great. You can tell that he doesn't think that they're handling the Brash situation the way they should be.
No, not. I mean, it's just, again, I understand their thinking on it. But, Ian played some great audio from Jerry DePoto before the season, raving about Matt Brash, talking about all these four pitches that he's got. Oh, my God, he's unbelievable. Great. You know, we get him five starts of the season. It's like, no, we're done with that. Like, you jerk these guys around. I mean, there are plenty of guys in Major League Baseball that have two pitches that are starters. Robbie Ray is one of them. Randy Johnson built a Hall of Fame career on having two pitches. He can be an effective starter and by throwing two pitches. Now, can they go back to it next season? Yeah, but there's this up and down. I would rather him go down to Tacoma and just continue to start and build up innings and work
too.
On his stuff.
Well, do you look at the
his long-term is as a starter. That's where he's most valuable, not as a reliever.
Do you look at the bullpen and think, boy, they're in desperate need of help? I don't look at the bullpen that way. I think it'd be addition by subtraction if they got rid of Castillo at this point, but I don't sit there and think, man, I'd rather see Brash come back to that rotation than to join the bullpen. I think most people would feel that way. Maybe.
All right, voicemails coming up next on 93.3 KJR-FM.
Time for a chance at free money. Win $1,000 now. Enter the nationwide keyword cash at 93.3KJR.com. That's C-A-S-H at 93.3KJR.com.
Hey, Dick Fain here. Need a place that feels as comfortable as home on nights you just don't want to cook? I've got the perfect place, the Ram, of course. Many times I'll come home from work and pick up the family, head on down to the Ram for incredible food, service, and drinks, and leave not feeling like I got gouged by rising prices. The Ram's got dinner specials almost every night of the week that are absolutely fantastic and easy on the wallet. So find out what today's special is by heading right now to theram.com, and hey, I'll see you at the Ram.
Told me got five voicemails today. We'll get to that in just a second. It's Puck and the Go-To Guy with you here on a Flair Friday, a drag-your-ass Friday, get-the-hell-out-of-town Friday. Seahawks are going to go 9-8 Friday, according to the Go-To Guy, Jim Moore. I got him at 5-12 Friday. Over-under, by the way, if you like to gamble on things for the Seahawks wins this year, 5.5. 5.5 wins. Your Broncos, 10.5. It's a big old difference right there. Hey, do you see Jerry Jeudy was arrested for criminal tampering and domestic violence enhancer? What caught my attention was, so he locked a bunch of things in his car so his baby mama couldn't get it, including formula. By the way, do you know how expensive formula? You know you can't buy formula now?
I see that. Yeah, it's hard to get.
But also, you know what else he locked in there, or what he's trying to get back from his baby mama? Is one of his three cell phones. What person has three cell phones?
I think a lot of famous people do.
Three? Two? Okay.
Probably
three?
I'd say some famous people probably have five.
Okay, but when you're walking around, are you carrying all those cell phones around? So you're telling me he, at a given time, Jerry Jeudy is walking around with three cell phones?
Yeah.
That's uncomfortable. Well, where do you put them all? I mean, front pocket, back pocket? Is he wearing cargo shorts? I mean, how does he do it, Jim? I'm asking you. Does he have a holster? Keep it in. Does he roll it up? Does he roll it up like?
Yeah, it's in a holster.
Does he roll it up like a pony boy and the Outsiders?
He leaves the gun at home and then puts it in the holster.
Maybe like a cell phone holster, smartass. But who has? I mean, honestly, who cares? Does anyone know anyone that has three cell phones?
I would say.
I don't even know anyone that has two.
I would say the.
Oh, actually, I do. Chris Tullamore Kidd does.
Dude.
Chris Kidd has two cell phones. For
whatever. Does he?
Yeah.
Well, he's kind of famous.
Really?
Yeah. The hype.
Oh, the hype. That's right. 9 to 11 every week.
Yeah.
Three cell phones. That was one of them that was locked up when Jerry Jeudy wouldn't let his baby mama get in the car. So he was arrested. And
was he one out. Of the guys in line there that was getting food from Russell Wilson or no? In the spoof video?
I don't know. I was hoping in the spoof video that when Horseface Elway got on the little scooter and was going down the hallway that he was going to fall.
You were?
Yeah, I was.
Maybe he did, but they took that out.
Yeah. I got to find you I'll find you the clip where he kind of takes a dig at the Seahawks. Or Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
In his little releasing. Everyone's doing the funny videos, releasing the schedule.
He took a dig at his own house, though. That was good.
He did. He did take a dig at his own house. That was good. Yeah. And he swore. And that was okay. I did enjoy.
The Omaha? Did you like the Omaha?
No,
one?
But I enjoyed him taking a dig at the house.
Yeah, I didn't
that
think.
That was funny.
That wasn't as cringy as most of his videos. I thought there were some good parts
his
to it.
His acting is cringy.
But
like,
I thought
like
there was
Manning's
some,
natural at it.
There were some good parts to it.
Voicemails every day. We do it at 11:30. You can leave us a voicemail on the iHeartRadio app. Next on the iHeartRadio app, there's a mic icon there. You can leave a voicemail there. We try to find the five best, or really usually the three best, but sometimes we've got more than that. Jacob Stevenson, who's sitting in for Chris Kidd today. No, we did not fire Chris Kidd because he beat Jim at horse, as someone had asked on the text line. Jacob has been with us for a month. We're just training him. And this really is, we have been the training ground show of record for many years. We train new people. That's what we do. And then they go off to bigger and better things.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're training, or Chris is training Jacob this week. And Jacob will be a producer behind the scenes and moving around different shows. But he's with us here this week. He has chosen the five best for voicemails today. We'll deem whether or not these are good, Jacob, all right? Yesterday was a little, I don't know. I thought I was disappointed. We haven't heard from Rip lately.
Still no Beth Dutton.
We haven't heard from Beth. We haven't heard from John. But let's go. Voicemails away there, Jacob. Let's go voicemail number one.
Guys, Chuck Powell here.
Oh, Chuck.
God, I love these Mariners. I'm so excited about the season. Glad we didn't spend any money. I mean, how can you not be excited with a batting average of our top nine? 0.69, 0.11, 0.141, 0.53, 0.255, 0.202, 0.209. Oh, hey, 327, 320, and 263.
Thank you, Chuck Powell. That's one of our new voicemail characters, Chuck Powell.
I didn't know that.
Oh, Jesus.
I didn't know that Chuck was making a habit of calling in and listening to our show.
Yeah, I would think Chuck would be sleeping by now, taking a nap. All right. Thank you to Chuck Powell, who's checked in again on our voicemail.
Buck, little Jimmy, This is Rip.
Rip's back.
What the hell is going on? I left for Mexico 12 days ago, and the Mariners were towards the top in the American League West. Now I get back. They've lost 8 of their last 10 and they're in third place. Who's responsible for this? Let me know. I'm going to go down there with the cow prod and motivate them to do better. And in case you were wondering, yes, me and Beth had a great time in Mexico. And yes, Beth has no tan line.
God, Rip, you're lucky.
Oh my
Isn't
God.
Isn't Rip lucky?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
He is. I'd love to see Beth with no tan lines. Not gonna lie.
So who should he take the cattle prod to down there in the clubhouse?
Toro. Toro would be the first one would get the cattle prod.
How about DePoto? Hey, DePoto. Jerry, come on over here.
Who would you like?
Jerry'd be
though,
like the grape lady, don't you think?
Yeah. Who would you like Rip to take the branding to? Who gets the why? Who would you give a why?
Oh, who would you give a why to?
Do you watch Yellowstone, Jacob?
I do not.
Okay.
Great. So like somebody who would be in the club?
Yeah, who would be in the club? Who would you want in the Yellowstone club if you could have anyone?
Well, JP.
JP?
Yeah.
And Julio.
Oh, Julio.
Right?
Yeah.
JP, Julio, Gilbert. We think Kirby? It's too soon for Kirby?
Yeah, just somebody who's really good and would be loyal and a team player.
Who would you want them right now, only one, to take right now to the train station? Right now, you take one Mariner to the train station.
I can't
just say who it is.
Kelnick. I can't stand watching that kid anymore.
I thought you were going to say DePoto.
Oh. Well,
anybody.
Well, Jerry, of course.
Okay, so DePoto right to the train station.
I kind of wonder if they're ever going to do anything with Jerry as general manager. Does that occur to you at all?
What do you mean? Isn't he the GM?
No, I know, but like, do you think they're actually going to make the playoffs or do anything while he's here as the general manager?
Oh. Well, it's not looking good right now. That's a big decision for after the season, whether he'll come back for an eighth year. I think maybe you pull the plug after seven, but we'll wait and see. Okay. All right, go ahead. Jake.
Wait, did you say who you would have?
I did not. I wouldn't want to kill somebody on the Mariners. I'm not sick like you. Go ahead, Jacob.
Hey, Jim. Don't give me that that you ain't going to miss Russell Wilson. You, along with every other Seahawk fan, myself included, is going to miss that man come Sunday.
Yeah, that's right.
Especially when we start losing those games by three.
Yeah.
And you're going to sit there and say, damn it, if Russell was behind center, we may have won that game. Yeah. He may be a weirdo and all that, but he was ours. And now he's Bucky's problem.
Yeah, he was our weirdo, and you're going to miss him. You don't think you will, but you're going to.
I say I don't know about a lot of things, but I can tell you this. I'm not going to miss him at all. Mm. I'm not.
Okay. I want to know week 11. That's the bye. I want to know what you say then.
Okay.
After they get back from Germany.
I can just already guarantee that I'm going to say I don't miss him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Two more.
We got you covered. Boner Flex will take that 60-degree angle and your make it straight as an arrow. Boner Flex, available at Safeway. Side effects, we don't know.
Did that say Boner Flex?
Yes.
Okay, is that a new product, Boner Flex? Would you like to endorse Boner Flex?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, we'll endorse anything. Anything. Boner Flex, I'm in. Hey, it's Jim Moore here for Boner Flex. If you're like me, not been able to get a boner for 15 years, Boner Flex has been the gift that's keep on giving. And to get a personal reaction to that, here's my wife, Kathy. Kathy, oh boy, it's Boner Flex. I feel like we're in our 20s all over again.
Oh, come on.
My God. Jimmy, you've never been better. Boner Flex. It works for him. It works for me. All right, last one, Jacob.
UPS driver Aaron here.
Oh, geez.
This is Jim Moore at the grocery store. Random Go Cougs. Let's see. Might want to make some guacamole tonight. See if I get a good avocado here. No. Oh, this one's perfect. Perfect. Woo! Go Cougs, baby. What are these? Adult diapers? I won't need those for a couple years, but they're on sale.
Thank you, Aaron, UPS driver. Well done.
Well done. I can't be the only WSU alum that just randomly says go Cougs at times.
You're the only one that I know that does it like when it doesn't apply really to anything about the Cougs.
Don't you sometimes when you need to, like if you're on a trail and you're going up a hill, don't you just kind of tell yourself go Cougs at all? You never do that?
I don't do that.
Oh, I do.
But that's good.
Yeah.
So when you see someone walking down the trail that doesn't have any cougar gear on, you just say, hey, go Cougs?
I don't typically do that, but it wouldn't be.
Well, you know. I don't understand. So you're walking on the trail by yourself and just
If I'm going up a hill, I'm thinking, come on, man, you know, go
push
Cougs.
It?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
A little motivation.
I don't even care if it's weird. Don't you love being a Coug?
Well, sure.
Yeah.
I find it odd that you would say go Cougs as your Issaquah Eagles were in a playoff game and you hit a home run.
I didn't find that odd at all.
Okay.
Yeah, in fact, I hope to do it again tomorrow night.
I can't wait. What time? 7 o'clock, Bannerwood?
7 o'clock against Eastlake. Matt Massey from scorebooklive.com is going to be on hand reporting on the game.
Are we going to videotape again?
Yeah, probably.
Are we going to be swearing?
No, I won't swear tomorrow
okay.
night.
Okay. How many Jack Daniels since it's a night
game?
Oh,
well, this is going to be – I'm playing at a Hazen High School charity golf tournament at Maplewood before the game.
Jesus. You're
going to
be
and then
wreck.
Going to Little John's after that, and then on to Bannerwood. Yeah. Go Cougs.
They're going to drag you in there.
I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be like weekend.
It's one of those
games, weekend at Bernie's.
Like, hopefully we win, but both teams advance to state, win or lose. So.
Yeah, but you want to win.
Yeah.
All right, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Bannerwood, Issaquah taking on Eastlake. Tweet of the day next on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM.
This report is sponsored by Taco.
Download the DraftKings app and use code SPORTS to get a free shot at millions of dollars up for grabs this week with your first deposit.
Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Strike and 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 strike until you have victory. For every enemy that is aligned against you, let there be that we would strike the ground, for you will give us victory, God.
All right, tweet of the day, every day at 11:45. We scour Twitter for things. Jason Puckett 20, at Cougs Go, and CKid206. Jacob Stevenson is here. He's learning the ropes there from Chris Kidd, our producer running the show today. Jacob, good guy. Coug, graduating 2020 out of Bonnie Lake. We love having him here. Our tweet of the day is really this, because I saw this this stat last night on Twitter when I got back from the Jackson Feltz celebration party, celebrating his birthday over at Buckley's on Queen Anne. Shout out Buckley's on Queen Anne. Go to Buckley's on Queen Anne. Why? Well, it's where when you go there to watch a game, you don't got to tell them 10,000 times, can you put this game on? Because they've already got the game on, because they know what they're doing at Buckley's there on Queen Anne, and, of course, also down there downtown in Belltown. Zero. Our tweet of the night is zero. Points in the second half for James Harden. Zero. In a closeout elimination game. Zero.
I thought maybe
that is our tweet of the. I saw that zero, because the point was points in the second half tonight. Ben Simmons zero, James Harden zero.
I thought maybe when I saw field goal attempts, it'd be he just really had an off second half, like 8 or 10. But he only took 2 shots, and then you told me that it appeared he wasn't trying.
He took 4 shots the entire game, he made 2 shots in the second half.
He did.
Right?
I thought I saw 0 for 2.
Or excuse me, 2 shots in the second half.
Yeah. I mean, I really thought it was going to be like an 0 for 8 or 0 for 10 where he was just, you know, hucking up some threes off balance.
Well, Mike, the part of this, 0 points, is also you were right. Congratulations.
Yeah. How do you pay? I mean, they're stuck having to pay him $47 million unless he doesn't take the player option. Which he'd be a fool not to.
Oh, he would. He's a moron if he doesn't take the player option. He has to.
Yeah.
And then I also wonder, Daryl Morey, who gave up a lot of capital to get him, does he sign him to a max? I mean, I don't know how you can sign him at this point to a max deal. I mean, I really thought you would get a better version of James Harden, but it was clear because there was times he was playing good for the Nets and he was a different player. He was more of a facilitator. That's what Embiid talked about last night. But when they needed him to be not a facilitator anymore, and to be the old James Harden, dribble, dribble, shoot, and score, he just couldn't do it anymore. He's old, he's older, he's out of shape, can't do it anymore. Highlighted by that play last night when he was trying to do, you know, his between the legs, mm-hmm. around the back, and he got it picked. Mm-hmm. He's just not the same player.
Yeah. Kind of sounds like what Russell Wilson's going to be in Denver, too.
Russell Wilson, though, dedicates himself to being in shape and being top-notch, not going to the strip clubs, eating mm-hmm. wings and whatever the else he's doing.
Yeah, I just, you know, and I don't follow the NBA.
$46 million.
I just,
can you imagine saying, I'm going to opt into a contract that's going to pay me $46 million?
Yeah, I just, if you're a Sixers fan right now and you're stuck with that guy for another 82 games, you know, best of luck with that.
Well, I would, if you can go back and watch it, I don't know if anyone can. I mean, I'm sure you can. Go to last night's Scott Van Pelt when he had Tim Legler on, and Legler just went. I mean, off on him. I mean, he dissected him. I mean, the whole thing. He's from Philadelphia, I think. Lives there.
What did he start with? He's not trying. He's making bad passes. Just everything. Bad decision making.
All of it. All of the above. He just was blindsided how bad he was because he really thought it was going to work. He really thought it was going to work for them in Philadelphia, and it clearly hasn't.
Hmm. Worked long enough for Shockey to win $100 from
me,
though.
It did work long enough. I mean, I still think the trade was going to be a success because of Ben Simmons, just not a success because you can't trust Ben Simmons to ever play, to do anything, because whatever else he has going on in his life, in his career. So I think it was a wise trade because I just never thought he was going to contribute to the Nets, and I still don't think he will. But in the long haul here for James Harden, it just did not work out. And with all that talent and, you know, with that head coach who, again, is one more time has struggled in the postseason, to get his team over the top.
With they're
all
keep
the talent
him?
They said he's coming back.
Hmm.
I mean, you're wasting away so many valuable years of a really good player's career in Joel Embiid. And then the guy that they chose not to bet on, Jimmy Butler, is now leading his team to the Eastern Conference Finals. Who, again, Jimmy Butler is my spirit animal. I just love Jimmy Butler, just everything about him.
Well, and I saw a play with him last night where he
max out,
he hustle
every time he's on the court.
Which
he does not stop.
Isn't that what you should expect of a professional athlete?
And he's a super,
I know it's the NBA, but
he's a superstar. But he acts as if he's the last guy on the bench trying to earn a spot on the varsity team.
Yeah, he got his own offensive rebound in the clip I saw, and he went out in the left corner and he buried a three.
And I was thinking about this last night, and I was watching Eric Spoelstra's press conference. Why does he not get more credit? Why does that guy not get more credit? Now, you could say, well, he had LeBron and he had these guys. He has won every single year that he's been a head coach for that team. Every year.
He has.
They have come. He gave the stat last night that he and Riley joined in Miami 25 years ago, 26 years ago. This is their ninth Eastern Conference Final appearance. And that they have built an empire down there with a bunch of different, remember it was Shaq and Wade, right?
Right.
Then that morphed into the LeBron, Wade, Chris Bosh. Then that thing ended, and they kind of dropped, and then this whole new version, that's, with Butler and Hero and all the other guys they've got down there now.
I was really impressed with what they did in the bubble that one year. Because I don't think they were a high seed in that, and they were rolling through people.
And he's just a hell of a coach. Absolutely hell of a coach. And
he's from Portland, I think, isn't he?
Is he really?
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Yeah, I think he grew up in Portland.
Oh, he's a University of Portland kid, isn't he? Didn't he play for the Pilots?
Maybe he went to high school in McMinnville or something.
Well, and right now, of all the teams that I've seen in the playoffs, I'd put my money on them.
Would you?
Run the whole damn thing. God, they play hard, physical on defense.
You see the Warriors are favored by 8?
Oh, who has the bet tonight? We need to do our daily degenerate gambling bet.
Is it your turn? I'll go ahead and take Memphis.
You want Memphis tonight? Minus the 8?
No, plus 8.
Or excuse me, plus the 8?
Yeah.
Is that really the line?
Are you lying? The thing is, though, do you know if the Warriors are going to try tonight?
I don't know.
One would think, but...
Okay. You got the Grizz plus 8?
Yeah.
I'll take the Warriors. Take the Warriors minus 8 at the Chase Center in San Francisco tonight. Chris Egan joins us coming up next. His weekly visit, the Prince of Puyallup on 93.3 KJR FM.